Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us at this funeral and celebration of Richard George Sinclair. My name's Andy Wood. I'm one of the pastors here at this church and had the great honor and privilege of knowing Richard for the last 22 years or so. And it's just a real honor to be here officiating and just helping us say goodbye in a way, and also remembering and releasing and celebrating and honoring this dear man here. So, but a special welcome to the family, to Edna, to all of his kids. So glad you're here, Cheryl. And his grandkids and great-grandkids, his siblings. He was one of 12, and there's a number of them here today. His in-laws, his brothers-in-law and sister-in-law, and all the other family members, the nieces, the nephews, the cousins, the ones who called him Grandpa Richard and Father Richard, and all of us who were kind of under his care and under his love, a special welcome to you. Thank you on behalf of the family. Death brings up such a mixture of emotions, hey? It's just all over the map. It reminds us that we live in an imperfect world. We're reminded of humanity's failings and flaws, and maybe our own failings and flaws, and we're filled with sadness. We're filled with regret. Maybe some disbelief, some anger, some shock, grief, really, of missing this dear one here, missing this friend, this brother, this uncle, this grandpa, this dad, this husband. And I want to tell you, of all of those range of emotions, I want to tell you that they're all welcome here, and actually all even necessary here. They're all part of doing the hard work of grief, and yet this grief is mixed with gratitude, hey? And I want to encourage us to think about the ways that Richard has graced our lives and the gratitude that can come up as we do that. So we are filled with sadness, but we're also celebrating. We look back on his life with fondness, grateful for the times that he did spend here with us and the many gifts that he left us each in this room. And so gratitude and grief, two sort of paths that we're walking down sort of at the same time, and it can feel like we're being torn or this tension. Maybe like what Lovely's feeling right now. But I want to encourage us to go down both of those paths, the path of grief, of sadness, and also the path of gratitude and celebration at the same time. And somehow, God can hold those things together as we walk down both of those paths together. So let's go down those paths together. Let's grieve the loss of this dear one, but also relish his life, the gift of his life, and be grateful for where he is now, at peace with his Creator, waiting for the day of resurrection when he and all who die in Christ are raised to new life, which of course is the amazing hope in these difficult times. So with that, I want to invite Suhail, Pastor Suhail, to come, who was a pastor to Richard, and who is a pastor now in his church, to offer a prayer and a tribute, and then Howard Jolly will come and lead us in some songs.
Well, would you pray with me? God, in these moments, there are not sufficient words, and yet sometimes it feels words are all we have. And somehow, in the mystery of this, we trust that you are a God of comfort and a Father of compassion. And I ask that especially you would be that in deep ways for Richard's family and for us, his friends, today. I ask, Jesus, that your peace would rest upon our minds and our hearts and even fill our bodies today. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill us with yourself, with your personality, and that somehow, even in this moment, that you'd bring the good fruit that you alone can bring. Amen. So I'm very, very honored to be able to share just a few words and stories about Richard. For some strange reason, I forgot that Richard and I and Edna lived upstairs together in this very building on the third floor. And as I was trying to figure out why I couldn't remember it, I think it was because I got no sleep when Richard lived up there, because his laughter was always filling the hallway. And I could always hear him somehow, or imagine him saying, "Hey!" at the top of his lungs. So maybe that's why it's a little bit of a blur to me. But it's so true that Richard, one of the first things I think of when I think of Richard is his laughter. You can probably imagine his laughter in this moment if you think of it. I remember almost every time I saw him almost yelling my name at the top of his lungs. And I guess it became a sort of custom that I would yell his name back at him as well. And so for some reason, we just shouted each other's names at each other all the time, as I imagine many of you did as well. I also remember being tickled a lot by Richard. When I first met him, he was in his mid-60s, but man, that guy could tickle anyone like he was in his teens. And I tickled him back. I don't normally tickle 60-plus-year-old men, but somehow Richard was the kind of person who you felt you could tickle and who would tickle you. I remember lots of hugs from Richard. And I remember his warm and weathered hands always shaking my hand when he said hello and goodbye. And I remember feeling like he was, you know, like a teddy bear of some sort, a giant, loving, kind teddy bear who you could almost just lose yourself in his arms. I also remember Richard being a man of deep prayer and deep faith. At the drop-in here, he was by far the most willing to say prayers before we ate. You know, if there was ever a call for anyone to volunteer to say the prayer, it was often Richard when he was here. And I remember him, in all the years that I have known him, always asking for and praying himself for healing of his kidneys, that he would never need dialysis again. He had this endurance and persistence in his faith and in his prayer that spoke to me. He was also a man of deep conviction. He was passionate, and if he believed something, he believed it with like every single ounce of his being. I used to sometimes watch him through this window coming, and he'd have his Bible in his hand walking down the road, and that was like a picture of how he lived. He lived with deep conviction about God, about faith, about prayer, about the Bible. Sometimes he'd even point his finger in my face about God or something that he'd seen on Sid Roth's Supernatural the night before. He was passionate, And his finger was passionate sometimes too in my face, as well as in my ribs as he tickled me. But alongside his deep conviction and passion, I also recognized in him a really gentle spirit of humility. When he was around 63 or 64, he came to school in this church and, you know, wanted to learn about God, I guess recognizing that he didn't know everything, even at that age, even in his 60s, he was still wanting to learn. And I pray that I would have that kind of spirit when I'm that age. That was a very special example to me. And he also used to, we used to talk sometimes, despite his conviction and his faith, he also used to ask me sometimes, why am I not healed? Why do I still have to go to dialysis? And I marvel at the fact that he asked me, someone who was almost 30 years younger than him, that question, that he would honor me with the question and even listen to whatever I may have to say to him about that. And finally, and perhaps this is the thing that we will most obviously remember Richard for, is that he was a man of deep, deep love. He loved me, and I felt that love. He invited me and my family to his home on short notice. He loved his family. He loved you guys more than words could ever say. My one memory of seeing him anxious as I was thinking about him was one Christmas when he was worried about how he was going to get presents for all the kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And I think he was anxious, not because he was a fearful man necessarily, but just because he wanted Christmas to be beautiful for his family. No real thought of what presents he was going to get, but he wanted his family to have a great Christmas. And so, yeah, I would like to leave you with those few stories and words in honor of Richard. And thank you again for the invitation and the honor of being able to speak here about him with you.
Hi, my name is Howard Jolly. I pastor the First Nations Community Church here in Winnipeg, and Henry and Walter go there, so that's how I'm connected to you here, and they asked me to do a few songs here. So I'll, they were talking about Richard there yesterday, and how he loved the Lord and shared his faith. And I thought of this song here. I'm just going to sing maybe one or two verses. We'll see how it goes. If you get up and dance, I'll stop. I'm just kidding. But I just thought of him and his faith and him being bold and very passionate about sharing Jesus. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. Cree. Ichi mandu gadi beli chi geyen imamska deli tamanda we gausita yen gakia waskia gesokatsu wen misi wen ogwan Nini gamo ni ma michi mida Gigi chai win Nini gamo ni ma michi mida Gigi chai win My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the someday, and he's going to bring Richard with him, and we'll all rise to be with him, those of us that know the Lord. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow humble adoration and there proclaim my God how great thou art. Let's all stand as we worship the Lord. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Great love for us, that you would send your Son to come and die for us. And we thank you for the hope that is in you, that Richard is with you because you gave your life for him, and he gave his life to you. And we just worship you, Lord, even in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of pain. We just commit our time to you, give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We'll sing another fast one here.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure. From all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how bright the path grows from leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from everlasting arm, leaning on the everlasting arm.
I want to sing one more song for you. Henry wrote this song. No, I'm just kidding. He wanted me to sing this song for dedicated to Edna. And, just hope of being together in eternity.
If I surveyed all the good things that come to me from above, if I count all my blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for a favor of him beyond mortal kings. Well, I'm sure that he'd grant it again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. We'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new, and I'll stroll over heaven with you. Many places of beauty we long to see here below. Time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come the morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew, and I'll stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. We'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new, and I'll stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. We'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new, and I'll stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
Thanks, Howard. I like you most of the time. Just kidding. So how do you honor someone well? How do you say goodbye in a good way? Or as we heard last night, not really goodbye, eh? See you later. How do you say see you later in a good way? Well, I think there's a few things. Partly, we had 90 minutes last night of story after story, sharing the good things and some of the funny things and some of the weird things, honestly, and some of the hard things as well about Richard's life. So there's honesty, hey? Like being honest, sharing the stories and being honest. Allow the good to live on and tell the stories. And as we go from here, doing the work of remembering. Like hiding those things in your hearts, eh? Mind those stories for lessons. What we can learn from Richard's life. What gifts did he leave us? And as I've thought about Richard and just contemplated my own relationship with him and his relationship, just kind of viewing it over the years and you know, sort of all together last night, I have a few thoughts that I wanted to leave with you about Richard, lessons from Richard's life. And they can be summed up kind of simply as St. Paul would say, as faith, hope, and love. Let me just explain a little bit. Like Suhail mentioned, and Howie a little bit as well, Richard had a deep, deep and abiding faith, eh? There was this kind of simple devotion to Jesus. And these past years, he would often, and especially since he was on dialysis, would often kind of claim his healing, you know? Anyone ever... You know, I'm being healed. I'm not being healed. I am healed, he would say, right? You ever hear him say that? I'm healed. It didn't always work out the way he expected. He was still on dialysis, right? But he would still hold on to that. And I don't think it was totally like this triumphal kind of thing. I think it was this deep and abiding reality that God would one day make everything right, including with him. And he had this faith that fueled that and held that. It was actually kind of inspiring for me in some ways. There was an honesty and a desperation there in those statements that called me and kind of fueled my own sort of faith. The writer of Hebrews said, faith is being certain of what we hope for and sure of what we don't see. This man was pretty sure of what he was hoping for. And guess what? He can see it clearly now. So having faith, lesson number one from Richard's life. Another lesson is hopefulness, being hopeful. I'm going to be healed, he says. I'm claiming my healing in Jesus. Like he was always sort of reaching for the kingdom come, for God's good and promised restoration of all things. There is this tremendous sense of optimism. Hey, it's like, who gave this guy rose-colored glasses anyways? But he sure had them, didn't he? Even through the more tough times, I saw that an underlying hope that fueled him. And so like these last few months after they were evicted from Kekanan Center and found themselves at the Sunrise House there at the Sally Ann, those are some tough times. And we had some real heart-to-heart conversations about that. And he was struggling, trying to figure it out. And on the day that he passed away, he was about to go and sign a lease for a new apartment. That very day. It's like he kind of held this tension of reaching for restoration and hoping for things to work out and seeing little glimpses of it and sometimes really beautiful glimpses of it. But he lived with that hope, and it inspires hope in me. Maybe it'll inspire hope in you as well. Faith, hope, and love. Put her there, brother! Ever you hear that, right? And then it was like you come in for the handshake, and it was like this whole big trick, because it really will. He wasn't going for the handshake. He was going for the full-on hug, the big Grandpa Richard Bear hug, right, Keith? It's like just all of a sudden you kind of got tricked to something. Like, I was going to handshake you, and all of a sudden I'm like in your big bear hug, and like Suhail says, a little tickle here going on. And he was this loving, loving man, and boy, did he love you guys, you kids. Like each of you. One of the abiding memories that I have of Richard was, I can't remember exactly, I think it was about 15 years ago. We had the whole clan over to our house for like a party after Christmas. And there's games happening, there's food flying off the walls, there's like kids, you know, diapers probably, like there's just all kinds of stuff happening. And he's just sitting back in the couch and just beaming, just like taking it all in, just drinking in all of the goodness and stuff and beaming with love. It was this beautiful moment that's just indelibly kind of carved into my mind. And then more recently, like I mentioned last night, but I'll mention it again here, on Valentine's Day, he shows up, and the love of his life for 47 years brought Valentine's chocolates in this beautiful little sweet card, and there's pictures I'll show later of them together like that. Wow, did he love you? It's really inspiring. Faith, hope, and love. I want to give just one little word about grief. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And some of us may be feeling various amounts of that this morning. And I want to encourage you that there might be times when you feel like the darkness of grief is just suffocating. Like it's just overwhelming. You may feel like you want to run away from it or deal with it in unhelpful ways, like ways that just kind of numb it out, right? kind of feels like sometimes you might be tempted to chase the sun that seems to have set with Richard's passing. And I want to tell you the only way to find that sun again is to face the darkness of the grief, to be honest with it, to walk into it step by step. It's kind of like, for some of us, I think it'll be like with Richard's passing, the nighttime has come. But the only way to go through it or to get to the other side is to go through it. Kind of like that old children's song, going on a bear hunt, coming to a wall. You can't go around it. You can't go under it. Gotta go through it. To turn, to face it, and step by step, the morning will come. And that means walking into the grief, embracing the sorrow, embracing the tears, the anger, the shock, the disbelief, the numbness, all of that stuff, all of it. And step by step, morning will come. And step by step, God is there with us in the midst of it. And so we grieve, but we grieve, like Scripture says that Margaret's going to read in a moment, we grieve, but we grieve not like those without hope. And so for us, the sun will come after the night. For him, for our dear brother Richard here, the remains of his earthly body is here, and in a few hours we're going to put him in a hole in the ground in Traverse Bay. But his spirit is alive with Jesus and in the memories that we carry with him. So we grieve, but we grieve not as those without hope. Margaret, would you come and read this scripture? And then Howard will have another song, and then we'll pray together.
Praise the Lord. I just like to remember Richard. Whenever time I would see him down the hallway, because he was my neighbor, and he would just, and he was truly a light. You know, it's like that song that brother sang. You know, and you know, I couldn't believe it right away, you know, when I found out that he passed on, because he was with us that day on Sunday. I picked him up on that Sunday morning to come here, and then he asked, are we having another service at Kikinan Center? That's where I live, First Nation senior place. I said, yes. So I picked him up, and he came, and he had a meal with us there afterwards, after the service. And then somebody else, you know, took him home. And then that was that night, that Sunday night, that he went to sleep. I had to run over there that morning because somebody told me, did you know about Richard? I said, what? What happened? So I thought, well, I better go over there and find out for myself. So this lady said, yeah, he's gone. And I was thinking, what a way to go. What a way to go and go to sleep that Sunday night and wake up in the morning in heaven. Oh, I was, you know, that's just to think about it, you know. And that was something for me. And I remember, I just want to share this with you. A couple of months ago, I had this very strong word, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit himself. Richard is healed. And it kept coming to me. I couldn't get rid of the words, Richard is healed. Okay, because I used to wonder, how come he's praying all the time and he's not healed, you know, and I'd drive him to his dialysis and, you know, he'd phone. And oh, I had to make that little trip to go and tell him, Richard, I have something to tell you. I said, you are healed. Now I know God really heal him fully. He set free. That's the message that I was getting from the Spirit. And he was so happy, and he was telling his wife, Edna, I'm healed. I'm healed, he kept on saying. But I'd like to, you know, me too. He used to say, Margaret, and all that. Like, you know, he'd open his arms and just grab me, like, you know, give me a big hug, you know. And, I just to remember him. It's like that picture that we're going to be seeing on a slide, you know, that happy face. And that's who he is today. Yeah. So I'm going to read a scripture here from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. That really speaks to all of us. But I do not want you to be, Lord, I just want to pray over the word, because the word is yourself. Your word, you're one with your word. So I'm voicing you out this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise again. Hallelujah. The Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us so that we should not die. Hallelujah. That's how that scripture speaks to me. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So therefore, comfort with one another with these words. Hallelujah. You know, I would like to encourage you. Give your life to Jesus. Be ready, because he is coming back. He is coming back, considering of all the things that are happening on this planet Earth today. You know, the rotten things that are happening. Strange stuff is happening. People are falling. Disease is on the earth. People cannot control it. So these are the signs that the Lord was saying to us, be ready. Give your life to me. You know, and I'm so glad that Richard doesn't have to go through and see all these things, you know, what we're going to be seeing. So because it's not going to stop right here. It's going to continue to get worse day by day, every day. So that's why this scripture here says, be ready and give your life to the Lord. Repent of your sinful nature and give your life to the Lord. Because you don't know what's going to happen the next hour or this day or next week or tomorrow. So give your life to the Lord. Let's therefore comfort with one another of these words. So I would like to leave you with these words. Prepare. This is the time. This is the time. Our brother here was ready all the time. He was a true light in this community, in this church. You know, he brought Jesus alive by his laughter, his love, and his hugs. That's who he is to me. And I'm glad that I knew him, that he was my brother. So I want to bless you all. Thank you for listening to God's word. is so precious. Thank you. Amen. Miigwech.
Okay, I'm going to sing one more song. It's kind of like a song that somebody sings from the other side, and encouraging us to give our hearts to the Lord, and that they'll be there on the other side waiting for us, and that they want to hear how we made it too. And the only way we can make it is by trusting the Lord.
When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright golden avenues, as you behold all its beauty and its splendor, just remember, I have one request to make of you. Look for me, for I will be there too. I realize when you arrive, there'll be so much to view. After you've been there 10,000 years, 1,000,000, maybe 2. Look for me, for I will be there too. As you go down your list of first, there's no question you'll want to greet loved ones who've gone on before you. And when you feel you've shared your story with the last one who wants to hear you tell just how you made it to, look for me, for I will be there too. I realize when you arrive, there'll be so much to view. After you've been there 10,000 years, 1,000,000, maybe 2. Look for me, for I will be there too. After you've been there 10,000 years, 1,000,000, maybe 2.
Look for Richard,
for he will be there too.
Thanks again, Howard. So I'm going to close in prayer, and I have you have a part in this, and I'm going to invite you to say, God, into your hands we release our brother. Let's give that a practice. God, into your hands we release our brother. Okay. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your son, Richard George Sinclair. May Richard gaze upon you, Lord, face to face, and taste the goodness of perfect rest. And together, God, into your hands we release our brother. May angels surround him and saints welcome him in peace. God, into your hands we release our brother. We commit his body to rest, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Give him grace to wait patiently for the final day of resurrection, when he and all who live in light come to inhabit a new earth and a new heaven. God, into your hands we release our brother. Creator God, before whom all who die in the Lord live, receive Richard into your presence. Let his heart and his soul now ring out with joy to you, the living God, and the God of all those who live. And for those, Lord, Richard has left behind, bring your comfort. Bring your courage and reassurance of your presence as we walk through this valley. Help us to walk this journey well. This we ask in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to invite Nick to come and to guide the final viewing and the paying of respects.
In a few moments, we are going to have a viewing and pay our last respects. Just on behalf of Edna and her family, thank you to all of you for being here. Now, there's a lot of gifts we take for granted. One's the gift of kindness. And Richard showed that kindness to a lot of people. And today you're showing the same kindness back to his family. And it's greatly appreciated. You know, I listened to Pastor Annie, Pastor Jolly singing, and Margaret speaking. It came down 2,020 years ago. Jesus died on the cross. And the devil thought, it's over, I won. And that drop of blood that fell on the ground, still ringing in his head. What did I do? What did I do? Because God's ways aren't his ways. God knew by shedding of his son's blood, before Richard was even born, he'd be saved. I would be saved. Anyone who names and accepts the name of Jesus. I ain't crying for Richard. I just want us to leave here going, look at the world. We need Jesus more than we've ever needed him. Everyone says, I believe in God, but Jesus, you're a fool because you can't see God. He's spirit. Jesus was God on earth. And he walked and he revealed himself. And that's why Jesus is a stumbling block, because he is the door. And Richard got his biggest hug. What do you got there? From God the Father and Jesus going. And he's going, hey, Jesus. Life isn't about money, material things, or what we can achieve means nothing. It's how we live and how we treat the people in our lives and the love we give. Because God is all love, and Richard was love. And that's why my heart aches sometimes. Because people don't know God and His love. And thank God, Edna and her family and this church here, the community, preached about Jesus. We need that more than ever. And whether you want to accept Him or not, one day you're going to meet Him. And whether you love God or not, He still loves you. And whether you hate Him, He still loves you. The world doesn't know God because it doesn't know Jesus. And what a difference that would be. I thank you for allowing me to share. And as we do the viewing, and maybe Pastor Andy can come and just bless the food, which is prepared over there. If you just like to start from the back, we'll come around this way and you can pass by the family. And then you can begin eating. And once everything starts winding down, we'll get ready to go to St. Marguerite's Cemetery for the final interment. Like I say, thank you for allowing me to share. And just remember, even though you're hurting, Richard's alive. That was his hope. That's our hope. And my prayer is that God takes you out of this world and brings you to Himself. God's good. So I'll just ask Pastor Andy to come, bless the food, and then we'll start from the back, just coming around this way to the front, and you can pay your last respects, and to Edna and the family as well. So God bless all of you, and thank you. Megwich.
So Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for this provision. We ask for your presence to be among us as we console each other and as we celebrate Richard's life, as we tell stories. In Jesus' name, amen.